Go to Proverbs chapter 14 tonight. We've been in Proverbs 13 for quite some time. And we're going to jump into chapter 14 of the book of Proverbs this evening. Proverbs chapter 14. And I hope by the end of the message you'll get where I'm going. You may be wondering where I'm going. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering where I'm going right now. But hopefully it'll all fall into place here in a little bit. But I've been enjoying this series, Wisdom from Above, and I trust it's been a help to you. Although it is one book of the Bible, there's so many different things in there, so many different topics, that we can hit so many different things as I preach through this. So I think it's been a blessing. Proverbs chapter 14, we're looking at verse 4 tonight. We left off, again, ended up in chapter 13. I'm kind of going through Proverbs, and when I see a new truth we haven't hit yet, I'll park there, and this is one I think will be a help, I hope, tonight, if it's clear. Ready? Proverbs chapter 14, notice verse 4. The Bible says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. That's interesting. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox. Let's pray, right? Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be here tonight. Thank you for the folks that believe they ought to be here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together here in this midweek service. We know that it's so important to gather together as a church to pray. And Father, as we've opened up your word, I pray tonight you'd help me to preach the message that I believe you've led me to preach. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Give us all ears to hear this evening, that we might receive the truth that is here in this passage and apply it to our lives. So bless the message now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. On April 1st, 2022, a woman by the name of Lauren Smith McDonough wrote an article for House Beautiful. It was entitled this. The title captured my thought as it pertains to this message tonight. The most beautiful abandoned places in the world. That's interesting. The most beautiful abandoned places in the world. Now, one of the places that was mentioned in the article was the Canfranc train station. If you were to visit Huesca, Spain, it's near the French border. You'd find one of the, perhaps what they say, I've never seen it myself, but I've seen pictures of it, one of the most beautiful buildings in the entire country called the Canfranc train station. And the author writes, quote, the International Canfranc train station in Huesca, there it is, Spain, still leaves a majestic impression. That's what she says. After its completion in 1928, that's when it was built, the train station was the second largest train station in the world. At its inauguration, the King of Spain was there, the President of the French Republic was there, and the train station was the most frequented train station in all of Europe. For years, they said, it was an absolute beehive of activity. Many people working there, and even during World War II, it played an active role by transporting thousands of Jews that fled Nazi Germany. And it remained an active part of the European culture until 1970, when all of that stopped. Now, it stopped because of a derailed train on the French side of one of the bridges. Now, today, if you were to see this train station, you would find, again, a beautiful building that has absolutely no activity in it. Currently, they do have plans to revive, they say, that station, hopefully, they're saying, by 2026, and bring it back to what they'd said was its former glory. But my point tonight is this. It's a beautiful building that sits idle. It's nice to look at, but it has no functionality. Now, for some time, we have been dealing with the subject on Wednesday evenings, Wisdom from Above. Again, the thought has been taken from James chapter 3, if you'd look at verse 13 through verse 17, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so notice verse 15 of James 3 says, this wisdom, the wisdom that is from above. And the idea of this series is this, really simple, I say it just about every week, that there are essentially two ways that every believer can choose to live his or her life, essentially. We can either choose to live according to God's wisdom, amen, wisdom from above, or we can choose to live according to the wisdom of this world, what we see around us. Now understand, wisdom from above is the wisdom from God, from our omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, omnipresent, everywhere present, Creator God. He was the one who, He knows the beginning from the end. He created us, He created all of us, He knows what is in man. That's where this wisdom comes from, the wisdom that's from above. But then there's a wisdom of this world. That comes from the ideas of men. May I add the ideas of unregenerate man. Amen. The philosophies of finite, fallen, and fallible men. Amen. Men who the Bible describes as hold the truth in unrighteousness. They can barely remember the past, let alone learn from the past. Right. They don't know the future, and they're still trying to figure out what man is. I mean, they can't even figure out the difference between a boy and a girl. And we're saying that they have wisdom? Well, the Lord tells us about their so-called wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And so which wisdom we should choose, whether it be the wisdom from above or the wisdom from beneath or of this world, should be a no-brainer. It should be easy for all of us. We should all choose the wisdom from above. And we know that the place that we find God's wisdom is in God's Word.
Amen.
Now, what better place to look in God's Word for wisdom than the book of wisdom? And that is the book of Proverbs. Remember what the Bible says in Proverbs 1:1-2, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I encourage all of us to maybe one time read a proverb a day for a month and just keep doing that. It's a good thing to do to add to your reading. This way you get that wisdom from above hidden in your heart and in my heart as well. Now, we've been working our way through this book of Proverbs in a topical sense. For the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, we know that God has laid out His principles, His truths, in Bible passages for the first 9 chapters. In other words, some of the truths were in several verses, some of them in an entire chapter. But beginning in Proverbs chapter 10, all the way to chapter 30, God gives us His truths in hundreds of individual verses that deal with a wide variety of themes. Then in chapter 31, God resumes the passage method with that chapter on the virtuous woman. So, point is, when we get here to Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 4, we find a truth that God desires for you and me to know in one verse. Now notice what it says here in Proverbs 14:4. Again, we read, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. There's so many applications to this, but I'm going to give you what I think would be best for us tonight. But what is God trying to teach me and you here by that verse? Something's there for us. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. So tonight I want to preach on that subject. You see it on your handout this evening. Excuse me, the wisdom of keeping the ox. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, hopefully by the end you'll get that. All right, so I would consider this verse, Proverbs 14:4, this is arguably, but I would consider this a very short parable. That's what I think it is. In other words, it is an earthly story or an earthly verse or earthly topic here with a heavenly meaning. That's what it is. There's a meaning here for us that God is trying to give us using certain elements here. So the question is, what is God trying to teach us from this, what I'm going to call a parable here? Well, let's find out this evening. Notice number one, if you would, the details of this parable. So let's take it apart for a moment and ask ourselves, what's in this thing? Well, there are several elements to this parable or to this earthly scene. Let's see if we can't figure them out. They're pretty obvious. Two are obvious, one maybe not so. But the first one is, letter A, the oxen. There it is, right? Notice where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increases by the strength of the ox. So we see oxen are mentioned two times in this verse. Now, they're also mentioned four times in the book of Proverbs, and they're actually mentioned a lot throughout the Bible. Oxen are. They're mentioned in 145 verses, if you like that sort of thing, in our King James Bible. First mention is with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 16, where the Bible says, "And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels." First mention of oxen there, Genesis chapter 12. Go all the way to the New Testament. We find the last mention of oxen. Quote, it's a quote in 1 Timothy 5:18 from Deuteronomy 25:4 that says, "For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." So the term ox, I think we know what it is, so humor me for a moment as I say a few things. It refers to a variety of male bovines of a large scale. Now, they are really considered large cattle with horns. And many people, as you look in the Bible, many people owned oxen. They did. You'd find that Abraham owned them, Genesis 12:16. You'd find that a man by the name of Abimelech owned them in Genesis 20 and verse 4. Elisha owned them, 1 Kings 19. And we find that Job owned them in Job chapter 1 and verse 3. Now, the primary purpose that men owned oxen, not only in the Bible, but throughout history, is this: to work. That's what they were for primarily. The oxen were designed or used to work because oxen are workers. They are. Now we find that this was their primary use in the Bible. Again, 1 Kings 19:19. "So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him." So we find Elisha there plowing, and what he's using, the animal he's using, are these oxen. Why? Because they're workers. They are work oxen, really. Job 1 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing." When that messenger came to give him the news about his kids, he's telling him the story. He says, yeah, the oxen, you know, they were plowing. They were doing what they always do. Deuteronomy 25:4, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox when treadeth out the corn." So many of the times in the Bible we see oxen working and treading and so forth. They've been used to do a lot of things in the Bible and throughout history. For example, they're still used today to plow fields, to transport extremely heavy items. Now, when we had taken that missions trip down to the Dominican Republic, I had taken some pictures. Remember, we went to the sugarcane fields. We saw all those oxen just with those carts taking that sugarcane to the trains. They were passing in front of us. It was a really neat scene. But boy, could they haul a lot of stuff. Those oxen could. They're used to thresh. They're used to power operations that grind grain and produce irrigation and many, many other heavy-duty jobs. Now, one article in Discover Amazing Animals said this, quote, "The ox," I like this quote, "the ox is the heavy-duty machinery of the animal world." In other words, you want to move something big, you want to get a big job done, you have something heavy to move, what animal would you pick out of all of them? Well, the world picks the oxen because they are workers. Now, you may or may not know this. I didn't know this till I read it here, preparing for this, that the measurement of an acre was calculated from this, quote, the area that one pair of oxen hooked to a single beam working plow could till on the longest day of the year. That's pretty neat. That's how they figured out wasn't what an acre was. And that's how they computed it. Now again, why do they pick oxen? Why do we use oxen or people use oxen? Why is that the preferred plow animal for those that do that sort of thing? Well, there's a bunch of reasons. One, they say that they're less flighty than horses. They say that they're less self-willed than mules. They say that they're calm, they're docile, they're very trainable, they're known for their ability to work all day, they are very, very powerful, they can pull up to 2.5 times their own weight, they'll weigh anywhere from 1,500 pounds to 3,000 pounds, and some can pull up to 2.5 times their own weight. They require less feed than horses, they are low cost, they say you can get a baby one for about $100 to $150. How many of you think about going to get one right now? You homesteaders, you're thinking about it. I know. I don't think they allow oxen in your backyard in Dover. But anyway, they say they're less prone to sickness and they require less elaborate yokes. That's pretty interesting. There was an article from a periodical called Homestead on the Range. It said this, quote, for truly heavy farm work, such as clearing land, the patient, hardworking ox is difficult to beat due to its impressive strength and great stamina. So my point with all that is this. Here's element number one of this parable, and it is one of man's God-given tools to multiply his work and to aid him in his work on this earth, and that is the ox. So we see the ox, okay? Then letter B, we see the crib. I won't spend as much time on the next two, so don't worry. I'm not going too long here. The crib. Notice again, we read that where no oxen are, the crib is clean. I remember years ago, one of our bus teams that came on the bus, I happened to be driving the bus. This was way back in the Mainland Baptist Church days. And he said to me when he got on the bus, hey, can you drop me off at my cousin's crib? I said, huh? He said, can you drop me off my cousin's crib? I said, what are you talking about? I never heard that before. Can you drop me off at my cousin's crib is what I was saying. That's what he was saying. He said, yeah, his house, his crib, where he lives, that's his house, okay? Well, it's not talking necessarily about that, but it is talking about where an oxen lives, where he stays. In other words, the crib here, used 3 times in the Bible, here in Proverbs 14, then in Job 39:9, and Isaiah 1:3, all three times, meaning the same thing. It's the stall, that's all it is. It's the place where the farmer keeps his ox. It's the place where they sleep, where they feed. Of course, they take them out to work. Then they bring them in. Sometimes they leave them in the field for a little bit. But they bring them in to feed and to sleep and to do those things that animals do. They do that all in the crib. So we have the oxen and then we have the crib. Two of the elements were the details of this parable. But I think there's a third one. I think there's a third. I'm going to say it's implied, if you don't mind me saying that. It's an implied thing or object in this parable. And that is this. I'm going to call it the farmer. That's what I think. Because there's obviously somebody that owns the land, that owns the oxen, that owns the stall, that sort of thing, that's going to use this oxen for that increase that he's talking about there. So I think there they are. Those are the details of this parable. Again, the oxen, the crib, and the farm. So you get it, right? The oxen is the animal that does the work. The crib is the place where they stay or their stall. And the farmer is the guy that's going to use that to do the work. There it is. The details of the parable. All right, then number two, let's talk about the duty of the farmer. So here's the farmer. He has his farm, of course, agricultural days. He has some responsibilities as a man, as a human being, that he has to take care of as a man. Part of his purpose, this farmer's purpose on this earth, is to feed his family. to feed himself, to provide a living for himself. Maybe he's going to sell things or whatever, which means he has to farm. Understand, there's no Walmart here in the days of Proverbs, okay? Oh, I need something. Let's go down and get something down here. There's no produce junction, none of that, no. You got to do it yourself. You got to farm. You got to deal with it. And so that's what he's doing. He has the duty to farm. That includes a lot of work. It includes preparing the field, plowing the field, and there's farmers out here that have done it for years. Some of you made your living farming. Planting the seed, harvesting the crops, all of that. Now understand, these are the things that God has commanded him to do. These are his goals, if you don't mind me saying it that way. And so the ox and the crib are two of the things or a part that he uses to accomplish those goals. Right. To accomplish those things, we'll call them God-given tools. Okay? And so let's make an application here. Let's stop here for a moment and pause. In your life and my life, there's things that God wants you and I to do.
Amen.
Right? Right. There are. God gives us, for example, in your handout, things that God wants you and me to do, me to accomplish. First of all, there are, letter A, temporal goals. That's just life, right? I mean, you know, again, we have to feed our family too. We have to clothe our family. These are physical needs, physical duties that we have. Life, if you will. We have to provide shelter for our family and for ourselves. We have to have a means of transportation, whatever it may be. We should be financially stable. We're supposed to do that. God has commanded us, ordained us to do those things. For example, 1 Timothy 5:8, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And so we're supposed to provide for our family. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. There it is. And so you don't work, you don't eat. You want to eat, you got to work. These are things we have to do. Real things, real life stuff, you know. We want lights on in our house. We want the warmth and the AC, whatever it may be. So again, these are some of the temporal goals that God has given us. I'm going somewhere, so hang in there.
Amen.
And then letter B, spiritual goals.
Amen.
We should have, there's things God wants you and I to accomplish spiritually as well. And I understand they're both intertwined together. I'm not saying, well, okay, now I'm in my spiritual life, now I'm in the real world. No, it's all together. I get that. But there's two different things we have to do. And so what are some of those things that God wants us to do spiritually? Well, number one, there are some things that we need to do personally. Here's what I mean. 2 Peter 3:18. We're moving fast, aren't we? We might get out of here in a little bit. Not. But anyway, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, again, there's temporal goals that I have to provide things for my family and so forth. Then there's spiritual goals. Personally, I should be and you should be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So God desires or commands us, we could even say, to have a close walk with him. He wants us to be strong spiritually. He wants you and me to know the word of God, to be students of the word, to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He wants us to not only know the Bible, but live the Bible as well. He wants us to have a strong prayer life. I think we all know this stuff. He wants us to be personally strong spiritually. So that's some spiritual goals. But then as a church as well, number two, as a church, there's things God wants us to do as well. We know what it is. We should not be confused about why we're here.
Amen.
God said it very clearly. Matter of fact, it says it on five different occasions, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts chapter 1, Matthew 28:19, perhaps the most comprehensive of the four others, five total. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So, as a church, there's some goals we have, right? I hope so. We're here for a reason. Otherwise, we're wasting our time. But he wants us to reach the lost. He wants us to take those that get saved and scripturally baptize them. And then take them and disciple them, the saved and baptized, teach them. And then we should, and we do those things, teaching and baptizing and discipling, through all the ministries of the church. Amen. Through our soul winning time, through our Sunday school, through our bus routes, all of that, that we're supposed to do those things. The preaching services, the nursing home ministries, the Christian school, now the seminary that's here. Everything we do should work together to accomplish that means. Everything. I mean, you say, well, what about the ushers and the nursery? That all works together. It's all part of making the whole thing happen. The choir, the sound. Again, all of it works together to accomplish that goal. It's like a piece, if you will, in the puzzle. And again, that's why we do the things we do. And by the way, that's why we have the things that we have. Why do we have this building? Because we're trying to use it for God's glory. Amen. Why did we purchase the missions house? Why are we? It all works together. All of the pieces together to accomplish that one goal, God's purpose for us on this earth.
Amen.
Okay? So I'm going somewhere. So that is the duty of us as Christians, but also the duty of the farmer. He has things he had to accomplish as well. You kind of see the connection? Am I kind of making it? Okay, hold on. Anyway, then number three, write this down, the dilemma of the farmer. Okay, so we got it all, that he's got the ox, we're talking about ox and the crib and the farmer and the things he has to do to please God and obey God. So notice the dilemma he has, Proverbs 14:4. I said all that to get to the verse. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean. But much increase is by the strength of the ox.
Right.
You see what he's saying there? He's saying there's a dilemma here. There's something you have to decide here. I'll get to that here in a moment.
Right.
So let's go back to the farmer. The farmer faces this problem. He thinks this. Well, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. So if I don't have any oxen, the crib doesn't get dirty.
Right.
And I don't have to clean it. So where no oxen are, the crib is clean.
Right.
That sounds pretty appealing. That sounds pretty attractive. Now I'll tell you what. Mucking stalls is not fun. Now, I don't think I've ever done it. Praise the Lord. But I know there's some of you that probably have. One farmer wrote this way, stall cleaning is not fun or exciting, but it's necessary.
Right.
He says you take a pitchfork or a manure fork or a large scoop shovel and scoop out the poop. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to say it. Scoop out the stuff. Feces and urine combined with straw, it gets compacted and stinky. It starts to smell like ammonia if you're not careful and let it go too far. And if you don't do it every day, it can irritate the animal's lungs and cause a lot of issues with the animals. You gotta do it every day. By the way, some of them said that I read, and you guys can correct me, do it afterwards, don't shout it out now. But they said it should be done at least once a day, sometimes two times a day. Now, does that sound attractive to anybody? I have the duty in my house to take care of the dog stuff in the backyard. And I don't like to do that. It's a little easier in the summertime because you just wait till it gets like rock-like, you know, from the sun and heating and all that. But it's not fun. I don't look forward to going out there and doing that. I don't say, well, I can't wait to go out and get the shovel and start shoveling this stuff up. Okay? Does mucking stall sound attractive? Only if you're crazy or something like that. So the farmer thinks this, you know what? If I don't have any oxen, I don't have to do that. But there's a problem with that.
Right.
Because where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox.
Right.
So yeah, I'd rather not do that. I don't want to do that. But I want the increase.
Right.
I want what it produces.
Amen.
And so I can't get the increase of the field I need to get without the oxen.
Right.
And so there's no way around it.
Amen.
There is. You see, this is wisdom from above. It really is. You say, preacher, you're talking about stuff. I know I am. But it's wisdom from above. Here it is. If you and I want a certain God-given or God-ordained product,
right,
then we must pay the price.
Amen.
We must.
Praise the Lord.
You know, there's a human side to God's work. We get that, right?
Amen.
There is. There's a human side and there's a divine side. And I believe God responds in proportion to what we do.
Amen.
I really do. Here's a verse. Proverbs 21:31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. That's our part. We're going out to war, and now, guess what I have to do? I can't sit back and say, let's all pray that God gives us the victory. We should do that, but we should do more than that.
Amen. Right.
We need to prepare the horse for the battle. Right. We need to make sure that we have our weapons. We need to make sure that we have everything. But safety is of the Lord. There it is. Man's side and God's side.
Right.
And it's like that with everything in life. You see, if you and I want to accomplish God's goals for our life, whether it be temporal things, temporal goals, or those spiritual goals, if we want to provide for our family, if we want to be strong as a Christian, if you want to have a close, and I want to have a close walk with God, it's not just going to happen.
Right. Amen.
We're going to have to pay the price.
Right.
It takes work. It takes time and it takes effort.
Right.
We got to clean the crib.
Amen.
Someone put it this way. You've heard this before. I think it's a good statement, so I'll repeat it. We work like everything depends on us, but pray like everything depends on God.
Good.
That's good, isn't it?
Amen.
We don't just sit back and say, well, let's just pray and hopefully that leak in the ceiling, God will take care of it. Pray harder now. It's getting stronger. Pray harder now. No, get up and fix it. Okay? There's the human side. Do we want to have a strong church?
Amen.
I do.
Right.
I really do. I do. Do we want to have a fruitful ministry? Do you? What is your ministry you're involved in? Everybody should have one, by the way.
Amen.
But I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it? Is it the choir? Is it Sunday school? Is it the bus route? Are you a teacher? Do you go out soul winning? Do you want to be more fruitful in that ministry?
Amen.
Do we want to see more souls saved? Do we want to make a greater difference in this world for Christ?
Amen.
I do. I think you do as well. Well, guess what we got to do? We got to clean the crib.
Amen.
We got to do the work if we want to get...
Amen.
The increase. You see, we cannot get these things without paying a price.
Amen.
I think it was Curtis Hudson that said, you can't build a church on spare time and pocket change. That's what a lot of people think. You cannot build a church on spare time and pocket change.
Right.
Through sacrifice.
Amen.
That's how it gets done. You see, this is wisdom from above. I know it's so simple.
Praise the Lord.
But we need this.
Because
we can't sit around and give a half-hearted effort to the things that we do and expect God to do wonderful things through us.
Right.
We do our all, and He will bless accordingly.
Amen.
He will.
Good.
But He won't. If we won't.
Right.
We want much increase.
Amen.
We need the ox. That means we need to clean the crib.
Amen.
Which leads me to the last thing, and we're going to get done nice and early tonight. And that is the decision of the farmer. Here's the question. Ready? Here it is. Are we willing to pay the price?
Good.
The farmer has to decide. This is the decision of the farmer. He has to sit there. He's looking. He knows what the deal is. He knows that, I need that ox. I need him, and I need to do the work. But it's going to cost me if I do that. But I want the increase. Therefore, guess what? I'm mucking stalls every day if I have to.
Right.
He says, do I want the crib clean, or do I want the increase enough to clean the crib?
Good.
You see, the farmer doesn't build the stall or the crib to be a showpiece.
Right.
He builds it to be used.
Right.
Therefore, if it is fulfilling its purpose, it'll get dirty and have to be cleaned.
Amen.
Now, I say that for this reason. Do you know what this building looks like on Monday morning? That's Justin.
Amen.
You'd be surprised. The stuff we find, the trash in some places, it's just, it's a mess. You know what the buses look like after a ride out there? You know what they look like? You're like, what in the world happened here? I mean, by the time you, and I'm sure it's the same as from the last time I was on buses, but by the time you're getting home on the bus in the summer, you have these little tornadoes of trash going around the feet of the driver and swishing around the whole place because all the trash is all over the place. You walk by, your feet stick and all that to everything. There's goo all over the place. It's pretty messy. You know what I say to that? When we think about it, the trash that's left here and all this. Now, mind you, in the context of what I'm saying, I say this. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Because that means something.
Amen.
It means we had kids on them bus. Them buses.
Lord.
It means somebody was sitting on them seats. Right. You remember all the people we prayed that would come on, and we worked that would come on, and then they come on, we're so happy, and then afterwards, what do we say with the trash? We should say, amen. I'm not, I don't like to clean up trash, but if I want the increase, this is what I got to do. This is what I got to do. That's part of the journey here. You see, these buildings were not built to stay clean. That's not what they were built for. They were not built to stay vacant. They were not built to only look pretty or to show people what a nice building we have. Look at this. They were built, the buses were bought, these buildings were built to be used.
Amen.
So that we can reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And disciple people in the Word of God.
Amen.
And that means something though.
Amen.
We're going to have to clean the crib.
Amen.
We're going to have to do the work if we want the increase.
Right.
The sad thing is there's enough people around that don't care about the increase. That's what's sad. There's too many people around, I should say, that don't care about the increase. In fact, I'd rather complain about the gum on the seat because of the kid that happened to be walking by. And all. Okay, so what are we going to do? Have nobody here? You remember the COVID mess, right? And there was a group of us that came in when there was a mandatory shutdown and this place was empty. And Easter Sunday, the first time since I'd been saved, that the church house was empty. The buses didn't move. I was so stirred by that. I walked around and took a video just to remember. This is what it looks like when nobody's here. I said, it's so sad.
Amen.
It's so sad. These buildings were not built for that reason.
Right.
They're built to be used. That means, guess what? We're going to have to replace the carpet. We're going to have to replace the ceiling. We're going to have to replace the pews, the seats once again. We're going to have to get new hymn books. We may have to build more things. Guess what? That's part of what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Would you rather us have nobody in here and say, well, the place looks wonderful? Who cares if it looks wonderful if it's not being used for the
Amen.
Lord?
Right.
So we must decide what we're going to do. Make the decision. What are you going to do with your ministry?
Amen.
I'm tired of these kids coming in and they just mess up the bus. Or they just mess up my Sunday school class. And so I'm just going to let whatever happen. Really? Is that the attitude you're going to have? You don't want the increase? You should want the increase.
Amen.
That means, guess what? You're going to be picking up trash. You're going to be fixing chairs. Things are going to break and so forth. You see, if we're going to keep the oxen, two things have to happen. Ready? Number one is this. It requires work.
Amen.
Work. That's it. Listen, I don't know if you've noticed recently, but the mission field is coming to Delaware. Did you notice all these people are coming here? New York and Jersey, they're out of there, you know. And they're coming here. There are neighborhoods popping up everywhere in our state and in this area. Right over here, there's a whole development. There's house after house popping up. My wife and I, we drive around. We see all kinds of new developments around. And we're saying, hey, they're here.
Right. Amen.
That means there's more people to reach for Christ.
Praise the Lord.
Which means we need to be a church that says this. I want the increase. I want to reach
Amen.
More. So guess what? We're going to keep the ox.
Amen.
And we'll do what we got to do, cleaning that stall.
Amen.
It also requires workers.
Amen.
Workers. You want to work? Listen, before I was saved, I went to church growing up, Methodist church and all that. What'd you do? You went in, you sat, you listened to whatever. I didn't know what he said, and I left, and that was it. And that was it. I did my religious duty. Is that what you want to be?
Lord have mercy.
You're saved, right? Christ has done something in your heart and my heart. We should want to serve Him and live for Him because there's a whole lost and dying world that needs the Lord Jesus Christ. And so guess what we need? We need workers. This ministry is expanding and growing. There's more to reach and all that. We got the seminary. We got all this stuff going on.
Amen.
We need to say, you know what? Give me the shovel. Give me the shovel. I'll do it. Ooh, stinks. But you know what? I want to reach more people. But you know what? This is worth it because the soul of the man.
Amen.
The soul, my wife says, push it that way because I'm shoving it on her.
Amen.
Give it to Brother Cordry. Amen. But shouldn't we say it's worth it?
Amen.
Let's not complain because there's a loop in the carpet. And then this got ripped. I'm not saying we abuse the place. I'm not saying that, not take care of it. But I'm saying if we're going to reach people, more people, this is what's going to happen.
Amen.
And so we need to work, and we need workers that will say, you know what, I'm willing to visit my bus route even more. I'm willing to go soul winning on Saturdays. I'm willing to sacrifice and pay the price because I want to see God do great things
Amen.
Through Capital Baptist Church. Is that you tonight? I hope it's all of us.
Amen.
Because we have, and I've said this since the first day I stepped in this place, I've said this place has so much potential for
Praise
God with where we are and the amount of people around
Amen.
Us that are lost
Amen.
Without Christ and the amount of non-fundamental good churches around.
Right.
We should be able to reach a ton of people for Christ.
Amen.
But guess what? We got to shovel the stall.
Amen.
And work. And when we do, God will bless.
Praise the Lord.
That's what I'm saying tonight. The wisdom. Let's keep the ox.
Amen.
Let's keep the ox. Amen.